It's time to separate fact from fiction and health fads. It's time for the Dr. Holly Lucille Show. Here's Dr. Holly.
Hi there. Thanks so much for coming back. This is one of the one segment that's going to blow your mind, I think, because the segment title is your alarm clock, right? Your nightlight or your alarm clock, I should say. Making you fat, tired, and depressed. Wait, what? What are you talking about? All right, well, I got the amazing Sarah Corey in the house, and we're going to talk about four risks of too much light in your bedroom, what those risks are, like how can light hurt you, right? And what we can do about it, best of all. Sarah, hi.
Hi, Dr. Holly. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Thanks for being here, because you're a wealth of information, and you write up blogs and such, and you're scooting along in your fourth year of medical school so well, and it's great to have you part of the Radio MD family. What do you know about this subject?
All right. Well, I think this is a really important subject. What I'm seeing, I'm seeing patients in clinic, and I know, when I was working with you, we saw this a lot, is people are coming in with a myriad of, tons of different things. And one of the key things that we're seeing is people just aren't sleeping well. And they're not realizing how vast the effect is from lack of sleep in their health. And one of the things that I'm seeing is people aren't creating the right environment for sleep.
And right, because I've heard the term, and I use the term sleep hygiene. Sleep hygiene is kind of like, what the heck is that?
Exactly. And, just thinking about it, there's been studies for years, years and years and years, this is not new news to anyone, that getting 7 to 9 hours of restful sleep a night has tons of health benefits. It helps reduce stress, it reduces our risk of chronic disease. It helps, better memory, better cognitive function. And even for all the ladies out there trying to lose weight, getting good sleep is important for weight loss. And that's the thing that always gets my patients like, oh, okay, well, maybe
right.
I should focus on this.
The big motivator there. No, you're right. And it's so important. I know these segments go fast, and I want to get right into the tips that are really important because, as you've mentioned, the areas that are affected when there are, and I want you to talk about just how much light, because I know just the LED off of an alarm clock, a digital alarm clock, can affect the pineal gland. So, and then the amount of melatonin, et cetera. So depression, obesity, diabetes. Now these are studies, and insomnia. So seriously, just too much light. You've got a whole heck of a lot of things going on. Here's what I love about a segment like this for the folks. We can be better primary care providers, right? Providing care for ourselves. Sleep is a passive thing. If we can get there, it's not half the battle. It's the only battle. If we can get to sleep, seriously, and then stay asleep, I guess maybe we should say that. This is health. This is where rest, relaxing, reparation, tissue repair, human growth hormone is made. Like all this stuff happens. It's the best thing. And so I want to get right to what people, what these listeners, our listeners can do to take action tonight to get a better night's sleep.
Okay. Well, just to clarify the point that you made there about how much light, one key thing we need to think about is, we're all connected to our technology all the time. We're watching TV, we're on our computer, we're playing on our iPhone the hour before bed, or we're getting in bed with those devices, and those devices emit what's called blue wavelength, and this light is really specifically the one that's going to affect the pineal gland from releasing melatonin. And you can really just think the melatonin is what's helping reduce alertness, help putting you to sleep, and pretty much is stimulated by darkness, so you'll get more melatonin when it's dark and you therefore go to sleep, and it's inhibited by light. So one of the things we need to think about in our sleep hygiene is, getting rid of some of that blue light before we're going to sleep. So I always talk to my patients about no light or no TV, no computer an hour before bed. This at least helps our body to start adjust. So if you can make that switch, that can be really powerful for people, is don't get into bed with your iPhone. You can check Facebook in the morning. You can check your email in the morning, and this is going to help you be able to get that rest and sleep. And then for the people who really can't give that up, there's actually an app you can download onto your computer, your iPad, your iPhone, which helps to adjust the light that's emitting from those devices based on the time of day. So this is actually can significantly help with maintaining the melatonin levels, and that is called, you get it at justgetflux.com, justgetflux.com. And that's
right.
An app that I use that people could go and try out, and there's probably many of them. That's just the one that I've tried that you could use. And one other thing, using along with this idea of the hour before bed, is creating a sleep hygiene routine. And we talked a little bit before in our other segments about routine and how that helps the body. And this is just the same thing, is creating a sleep routine that tells your body, oh, it's time to rest, helps your mind calm down, and gets you into that sleep zone. So whatever that is, I suggest to people, do something that's relaxing to you, whether that's, you know, a few restorative yoga poses, doing some journaling, taking a bath, reading a book, something that starts to wind you down that's not involved with stress. So not checking our email, not being connected in, and something that will allow you to sort of ease into that transition.
So if people could look up on the on Dr. Google, as I call the the space bar, you say yes. restorative yoga poses. What would be a couple examples of those?
Well, one thing that's really helpful are inversion poses. And, you know, we can't all do headstands and things like that, but there's it's called feet up the wall, and very simple. And that is actually where you scoot your butt against the wall, for lack of a better term, and put your feet straight up against the wall. Or you can do it if you need some cushioning against, like, the headboard of your bed or something like that, and just relax your body out in that movement. You know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, just feel how it feels in your body. So something like that is very restorative. Or child's pose is a simple, easy, relaxing pose that people could go through. So you could Google those two poses. Or if you want something a little more advanced, you could look up some inversion poses, because those are really great for promoting sleep.
That's great. And then also, I just want to clarify, and I think these are things are really important, what Sarah's saying, and don't worry, we're going to throw up a blog regarding all of this, because it's great information. It's really important, because if we can get people to sleep, we can make health so, so, so much better. Let's face it, your day starts the night before. But the pineal gland is actually a gland, so any gland is part of your endocrine system. It's a hormone system, right? And we've talked about this a lot. You touch one strand and the whole web trembles. And so if that, and the pineal gland secretes melatonin, and melatonin is that, as Sarah said, that hormone that allows you to just, like, all right, hey, it's time to go to sleep. And it works in concert with some other hormones. But those things are extremely, extremely, extremely important, and they're being affected. You know, we talk about adrenal glands being affected by chronic stressors. We talk about our thyroid gland being, you know, affected in our modern day regarding, gosh, anything from environmental toxins to actually yeast overgrowth in your stomach. Our endocrine system is so influenced by our modern day, and this sleep hygiene and these things that you can do to turn those lights down at night are so important. All right, keep going, Sarah.
Yeah, and also going along with that endocrine system and hormone system, and we talked about in the beginning with weight loss, is that, you know, women, there's actually was a study that was done that showed that women who slept in brighter rooms had a higher BMI and larger waist sizes than those who slept in dark rooms, and that comes back to the hormonal impact with leptin, which is our satiety hormone that helps us feel full and makes us not want to eat as much. That actually decreases when we're not getting enough sleep. So that's something to think about. Why?
Yes.
You really
okay.
Want
We've got 30 seconds. No, that's a perfect example, Sarah. This is Sarah Corey here with me. One of the most important things, I got to tell you, I'm just going to shout it out to wrap this up. If you want to lose weight and you're not sleeping, good luck. You can't do it. You have to sleep. Go to sleep, stay asleep. You can follow us on Twitter or Facebook at Your Radio MD, and we're going to go to RadioMD.com and look for this blog, because it's so very important. Stay tuned.